Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings, right here on MSG+. Welcome in the radio side, Sirius XM, Channel 204. By the way, VSiN, you're wondering, like, what's the VSiN's Primetime Action? Vegas Stats and Information Network, the world's first sports betting radio network. It's Brent Musburger's network. You may know him. Sirius XM, Channel 204. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin working our way up to the start of World Series game number 3 between the Dodgers and the Rays. We'll start in about 7 or 8 minutes. Matt, I was going to say, hey, we got 13 football games in the NFL to get through. Why don't we continue with those? But then you jumped in and you're like, I got a surprise.
I got a surprise for you. First, we have to go back to this Antonio Brown story. If you're just joining us on the radio side and you didn't see this, if you're driving around, Antonio Brown, 1 year deal with the Bucks. Tom Brady called Tony Robbins and got him to have a very long conversation with Antonio Brown so that he would be on track for his NFL return.
Well, sure. There you go. Tony Robbins will set you straight, huh?
I mean, now are we sold? Now we're sold. Tony Robbins.
Really want to get Tony Robbins on the air now for an interview about this.
I would actually enjoy that.
That would be amazing.
It really would. That would be really. That'd be really good. I'll tweet him. He'll get back to me.
Very convincing.
Yeah, I'll tweet at him. He'll get back to me. I'll just text him. He'll get back to me. So Kelly, let's pull up this graphic. I know Gil is going to geek out on this because we talk all the time about coaches and the decisions that they make and how it just doesn't seem to add up so often. And this was from Sports Info Solutions, and I think this really just drives home what we've been talking about, how they don't go about doing things properly here. So if you take a look at this, this is short yardage strategy over the last 3 seasons, Gil. So you see what the plays on the left that are getting called, mm-hmm. but then you see how the success rate of those plays over on the right-hand side. So you can see they continue to call on these fourth and ones in the 1 yard line. The blue, if you can't read at home, is fourth and one. The red is the 1 yard line.
So, yeah.
They continue to call running back runs. They continue to call throws. And those little tiny lines over there are the quarterback sneak. Then over here on the right is the success rate of the plays that are being called. And you see right here that the quarterback sneak on fourth and one is 80% successful, and from the 1 yard line is about 73-74%. So this next one, Kelly, is where it really drives everything home. So despite the fact, Gil, that you can get the fourth and one about 80% of the time and 73% of the time from the 1 yard line, let's look at the 1 yard line. Oh, they call the quarterback sneak 7% of the time.
Oh, my God.
7%. It is 73% successful, and they call it 7% of the time.
And and they're calling it less and less as the years go on, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is right. Oh, my God. This is like Christmas morning. I've been screaming about this for years on a numbers game on VSiN on radio. It just makes no sense to me. First of all, there are teams that not only do they not quarterback sneak, they go into shotgun.
Yeah.
Right? How many times have you seen Deshaun Watson go into shotgun at the 1 yard line?
Yeah. Like, which takes a 1 yard conversion to a 3 yard conversion.
What are you doing? Right? And so Tom Brady obviously is known to do this best through the years. But, oh, he's got a nose for the hole, that kind of thing. Drew Brees is the guy who does that football wave thing, mm-hmm. right? Drew Brees, who's like the shortest quarterback out there, apparently has got the monopoly on figuring out how to just jump and wave the ball, mm-hmm. and no other team can figure out how to do that. Philip Rivers, these are the extremes that I'm talking about. Philip Rivers, it's like finding the Zapruder film from the Kennedy assassination to find a Philip Rivers sneak. It is like it's in his contract, in his career. You can't find them. He refuses to do them. So when you're, and honestly, for Philip Rivers teams, that's something as we process games for the Chargers for years and years and now with the Colts, we don't really remember that there are key moments in those games. It's really the difference between winning and losing sometimes, that there are key moments in games involving him where it's the highest leverage situation possible, right? Fourth and one, or right at the goal line. And that's not something the defense has to prepare for.
It's Kelly, it's up on the screen right now. So one last time here. Again, fourth and one, you can see in 2020 they're calling the quarterback sneak 17% of the time, despite the fact that it is 80% successful when it is run. And on the 1 yard line, it is 73% successful, and they are only calling it 7% of the time. in 2020. It is amazing. It is crazy. I can't explain it. We beat our head over. We beat our heads on the desk every week about this, why they try to get cute with these calls when literally just ram your head forward and go and score the touchdown, and they continue to do this.
How much of this is the human characteristic of ego? How much of this is offensive coordinators? Now, let's throw Rivers out, because Rivers clearly has a thing.
Right.
Like, listen, I'm not sneaking, just so you know. I'm never sneaking. That's my Philip Rivers, by the way. I just think with offensive coordinators, I used to say this about, I grew up as a Washington football team fan, and Norv Turner was the head coach in D.C. for, believe it or not, the better part of 7 seasons. I know, it's crazy to think about. But Norv Turner was this great offensive coordinator with the Dallas Cowboys, and we became the Redskins' head coach. And I'm just using Norv as one example, but this, I'm sure, has existed a myriad of different ways. There's so many examples of this. So he's got to sort of corroborate his reputation, right? So even if Stephen Davis, and I'm talking about, you know, late 90s Redskins, forgive me for forgiving that era, but Stephen Davis, 5 yards, Stephen Davis, 6 yards, Stephen Davis, 5 yards. But at some point, it's sort of like, well, I'm the genius here, so I'm going to call something crazy. Is that sort of the equivalent of this, where it's like, you know, we could sneak here, and gosh, that might get us the first down, but I'm supposed
to be 13 yards if I do other thing.
But I was hired, you know, and I'm not talking about Norv now, I'm just talking about anybody, but I was hired because of my genius offensive coordinator skills or my play calling, so we're going to try this. Because otherwise, I can't really think of a reason.
Yeah.
Unless it's a Philip Rivers, who apparently has it in his contract.
And it's just crazy when we look at these and see that, and we keep talking about this over and over again, but to see it visually, when I saw this, I was like, we are putting this on the show, because this is like, because over and over again, I'm like, why don't you just sneak the ball? What are you doing? Like, just sneak the ball. What are you doing? And like, yes, it is as successful as we thought it was.
How many times have you, like, and I use the text because Deshaun Watson, for some reason, is the one that I remember the most, like, oh, what do you know? They're in shotgun. Yeah. But like, how many times do you watch that situation while it's happening? You go, oh my God, I cannot believe.
Yeah.
They're
often.
Yes. Often.
Often.
Weekly.
Yes.
Often. That's great. Please, someone text that to me. I need to tweet that out. That's phenomenal.
All right, few seconds from first pitch here. Dodgers are going to go off at -152. Rays are going to go off at +130. We're going to get a 7.5 total here, but if you wanted the under, -118. So a lot of under money coming in. If you did do the run line, again, we don't do it often, but if you did, Dodgers -1.5 runs, +118. Rays +1.5 runs, -141.
And Wisconsin, for those who care about such things, they get their first touchdown in Big Ten play this year. Wisconsin gets the first touchdown in Big Ten play. They score with 3 minutes and 23 seconds, or I should say 3 minutes and 23 seconds into the ball game. So 11:37 left in the first quarter. It's Wisconsin 7, Illinois nothing. They were a pre-flop favorite of -23.5. So that will adjust, and it will even increase based on their quick touchdown, but we don't have it yet up at DraftKings, so can't tell you exactly what it is. There is your Dodgers lineup for the night. Betts, Seager, Turner, Muncy, Smith, Bellinger. Nothing changes there. 1 through 6. It's always 7, 8, 9 with the Dodgers. That changes based on platoons and handedness. Taylor, Jock Peterson, Austin Barnes, at least to start things against Charlie Morton. Remember, the Dodgers are the road team now in games 3, 4, and 5. It's always very strange in the bubble in Texas, but the Dodgers are the road team in 3, 4, and 5. They're the home team in 1, 2, and if necessary, 6 and 7. So that will be the lineup that will face Charlie Morton to start things off here. So again, our pre-flop bets, I'm on the Dodgers first 5 and game, and you?
All the unders.
All the unders.
Just under everything.
An under fest.
Yes. No run in the first inning, under 3.5, first 5, and then under 8 for the full game.
I just tell you something, here's why I respect Danielle more than anybody here. She just walked in with popcorn. That's how excited she is to watch this baseball game.
She is. She's in on this.
Is it buttered, or is it just you just go salted, Daniel? Oh, but she's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, crazy.
Let's do a football game. By the way, we are underway first pitch here, and we'll update you batter by batter, Morton to face Betts right now to kick things off. All right. You want to do Pittsburgh, Tennessee?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Because we got time.
Let's do it.
Pittsburgh at Tennessee. Battle of unbeatens. Seattle being the only other unbeaten in the National Football League. 5-0 versus 5-0. Tennessee now, as we do this Friday, a 1.5-point favorite.
So as we said, this was the weird one. I mean, this was where the Steelers opened as a 2-point favorite, and we get a flip of 3.5 points whenever the news comes out. News in air quotes here. that Devin Bush wasn't going to be playing for the Steelers, which everybody knew anyway, if you were watching the game and or looked at an injury report for the week that comes out on Sunday night, yeah. wherever they'll sit there and make you a list of all the injuries. You're like, oh, okay, Devin Bush isn't going to play. Then the Titans lost offensive tackle, by the way, an offensive tackle in Taylor Lewan, who, by the way, is one of the best ones in the league, and people are still like, oh, yeah, no, whatever. It's more important than the Bush is out.
Right.
So this is where things start to, like, not really add up to me. And you look at the Steelers offense, one of the best pass-blocking units in all of the league, which has given Ben Roethlisberger enough time to really hit all these weapons, and he's found Chase Claypool as a weapon. Steelers have the league's lowest pressure rate against Ben Roethlisberger, only 21%, and he's actually getting rid of the ball, which probably by design because, you know, not so mobile and with everything's going on, but Ben is actually getting rid of the ball quicker than any quarterback in the league right now. So he is, they're throwing the ball fast, and he's getting protection. So that's two really, really good combo when it comes down to all that. So, I mean, like, there's a lot working here in their favor, especially when you look at the Titans defense, which is not a strength at all. Like, they are the league worst 57% positive play rate through passes. And their run defense is actually given up. If you know the stat, explosive plays for an explosive run is a 20 plus yard run. They've actually given up explosive runs, 16% of runs, which is the second worst in the league as well. Now, they've been masked because of, you know, been fairly efficient on offense more than anything. And then they were also the gifts of all these turnovers that we saw in the last time out. So, you kind of start putting these things together, and the front seven of this Steelers defense has generated the highest pressure rate in the entire league at 46%. So every single time, every other time that Tannehill drops back, he can expect to have pressure on him from this Steelers front. Lowest success rate on the ground as well. So Derrick Henry, what is this Titans team built around? Derrick Henry, the lowest success rate on the ground of any team in the league, this Steelers defense. So it just, to me, you start adding up all these things, and it's like mounting over and over and over again. Okay, Ben Roethlisberger should have a ton of time to pass, should be able to hit all these playmakers he's got. Steelers defense, pressure rate on, tons of pressure on Tannehill also, doesn't allow a lot of yards on the ground. I mean, I don't know what I'm missing here. I understand that Derrick Henry is superhuman, and so some of this kind of gets altered because of the skill that he brings, but you're missing Taylor Lewan, you're missing your most important offensive lineman, and A.J. Brown missed practice all week long up until today where he did a limited practice. That knee is still bothering him. It looks like he's going to go, but that knee is still bothering him. One of my favorite bets on the week. Tons of money going to be tied into this Steelers plus 7.5 teaser. I'll still have the Steelers plus 1.5 as well. Definitely be a contest play for me. Just everything adds up. I don't know what people are seeing in the Titans.
I have already bet it. Mm-hmm. I already have it in the teaser leg. I have already bet it in the contest. And it's sort of similar to your Packers Buccaneers handicap from last week, which worked out splendidly. I understand that the Buccaneers were down 10-0 and it was two great defensive plays that turned that game. But from that point forward, the Bucs dominated in the sense that the one unit on the field that was clearly inferior to the rest was the Packers defense. And here you're saying basically it's the Titans defense.
Right.
Same thing.
Exactly. Same thing. And I mean, again, it's Derrick Henry. It's a different animal. But Steelers giving up 66.2 yards rushing a game so far. Second best in the league. They're only giving up 219 yards passing in the league. They're averaging nearly 5 sacks a game, 4.8 sacks per game. And so it's just this defense has showed up each and every week. And look, I think Tannehill is a fine quarterback. I think he'll do okay in this game. I think that obviously we know Derrick Henry is one of the best running backs in the entire league, but this is just a step up. This is the next level for these guys, next level for this Titans team. And that's just the defense we're talking about. Steelers offense, pretty good as well.
Pretty
so
good.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, you're giving me a point and then I can make that over a touchdown. I'm going to do that all day long. It is going to be, it's going to be really, really great for me.
Kelly Bidlin hits it on the money. Two out solo shot. Justin
loser
Turner.
Loser right off the bat for me. Do we have a loser video?
Loser and a winner on one swing of the bat. Kelly, you hit Justin Turner.
The Beard Brothers plus 650, I think. Something like that.
There you go. And so, a loser for me right off the bat. That's fun.
And yeah, you had the under in the first inning. And there goes that. Ground out Mookie Betts to start things off. Corey Seager fly out. And then Turner just destroyed. I believe that was a 1-2 pitch.
He was due, Gil. I said he was due.
Well, it might be playing as a pitcher's park tonight, but Justin Turner said pitcher's park's Mischer Schmark.
Well, another one of those guys, we were talking about this with Turner as well, hits righties. Weirdly, has always hit righties better than lefties. Has always been one of those reverse splits guys.
1-0 Dodgers. And what does that do to the line?
Yeah, we're
going to
pop it up right here. I had it over on NFL. But yeah, now, so what is pops up at -230 on the Dodgers, +175 on the Rays, live total of 8.
397 feet to left field for Turner. Just enough, actually, with some room to spare, quite frankly, in left center. Dodgers 1, Rays nothing. Let's do another game here as we watch baseball with one eye and go through the Week 7 slate as well. Buffalo, this is interesting. Buffalo now down to 10.5 against the New York Jets. Now, one can only assume that that's based on the news that came again late this week. It's not like it really surprised anybody.
Right.
Sam Darnold is going to play for the Jets here, and the Bills have a couple injuries.
Right? Yeah, the Bills, John Brown's not going to play, and so there is that. Tre'Davious White's questionable. I think they think that he's going to be able to go. It's another one of those things where you just look and you're kind of like, I mean, we knew Darnold was going to be back. I mean, all the signs anyway, like it wasn't official, but all the signs was that Darnold was going to be back this week. The Jets, dead last in net yards per play, -1.6. I mean, it is absolutely atrocious. Whenever you go down the list here of everything to hate about this Jets team, we could go on for the rest of the segment about it. I mean, everything is terrible. Yards per play, 31st in the league. Third down conversion percentage, 32nd in the league. Rush offense, 29th. Pass offense, 30th. I mean, it's just literally everything that you could hate. And that's just the offensive side, the defense as well. Way down there, pass defense, 31st in the league.
Chris Mortensen tweeted out some days, like, the Jets see an opportunity here with the Bills injuries and Darnold playing. I was like, an opportunity to do what?
Yeah, I know. An opportunity to do what? And look, you know, we talk about how we sometimes do things that are a little unorthodox with this. If that number makes you uncomfortable, you know, you can get this under a touchdown.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, like if the number makes you uncomfortable, the double digits, you can get this under a touchdown.
Meaning teasing.
In a six point leg here.
And this is what I was looking at as this number was ticking down all afternoon here today on the West Coast. Mm. You know, if it's 10, if I can get 10, tease it down to a 4, I'm kind of with you, man. I don't know how that doesn't make it into one of the teasers at least that I'm playing.
Yeah, there is just no way the Jets are going. They're not going to win it outright for sure. And so now all you really need is like, can the Bills do anything on offense? Again, one of the things the Bills actually do well this year is pass the ball. They can't run at all.
Right.
But the Jets actually defend the run kind of okay, and they're horrible against the pass. So, okay, Bills, just abandon what you do poorly.
It's a great handicapping point, and it applies to other sports as well. You often, in basketball, will talk about a poor a really good three-point shooting defense. Mm-hmm. But goes up against a really poor three-point shooting team. So it's not like you're taking away their strength.
No, yeah. I mean, the Bills, we saw this play out the other day. I mean, Devin Singletary had 10 carries for 32 yards, and they just decided, okay, we can't run the ball anymore. And then they quit running the ball. So, okay, don't do what you're bad at. Just do what you're good at against what they're bad at. And, like, this should work out perfectly fine. Again, if you're not comfortable with the 10.5, I know it's not the typical way to go about things, but you can get it under a touchdown here. Get it down to 4.5 if you wanted to.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
By the way, Muncy, the infield single that knocked off Charlie Morton, but then Morton got Will Smith to strike out swinging. So 1-0 Dodgers midway through the first, which means that the new updated line is
225 on the Dodgers, 175 on the Rays, a live total of 7.5. But if you want the over, a juice of -125.
Let's squeeze in one more from Week 7 in the NFL. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Brownies, 3-point favorites, extra juice, but 3-point favorites against their, I'll go ahead and say it, division rivals. Are you starting to hear this little buzz of Baker Mayfield might be on his last legs kind of thing?
I've heard that. I've seen that. And it's,
you agree with it? Like, if they lose here to the Bengals, do you think there could be a change?
Oh, now if they lose here to the Bengals, I think that the rumor starts to become more of a, hey, when does it happen type situation? Because this is just, look, the Bengals defense they're just not any good. I think the big news coming out of this one, Austin Hooper is out on the Browns, so that's one of their playmakers is going to be gone. The other guy that's going to be out, one of their guards, Wyatt Teller, is going to be out as well. Jacob Phillips, linebacker, out for the Browns. On the Bengals side, Joe Mixon is going to be out at running back. If you you know how much you value running backs, Gio Bernard will fill in, and he's a guy that's been there before, right?
I'm glad you said that, though, because most people will hear that and go, Joe Mixon is out.
Yeah.
You know, they'll spaz right. about it. Spaz, technical term. But yeah, not as it doesn't mean as much as you think it
does. And especially when you're look at what the backup situation is yeah. with a guy like Gio Bernard, who, you know, has started several different times for this team. It's not like he's gonna be taking on a role that he's not used to or can't handle. What do you think about this number? Because this is quite interesting, because the Bengals have been getting some support.
Yeah. And well, Cleveland, you know, again, recency, when last mm-hmm. we saw the Browns, the Steelers were busy destroying them 38-7. And the Bengals are one of these teams. Again, they've lost five games this year, but four of them, what is it, by 5 points yeah. or fewer? So, I mean, that goes into that thinking. Let me make sure I have that right. But that goes into the thinking on a line like that.
The one thing that kind of jumped out to me, I was just looking at this total, and it just, 50.5 seems a bit high for this. I know we hate betting unders in today's NFL, but seems a little high for this one to me. Yeah.
Hall three quarterback on one side. I mean,
that's right.
Yeah,
let's throw that in the mix. By the way, Bengals 1-4-1, so three of their four losses by 5 points or fewer. Just to be accurate on that, we got a whole bunch more Week 7 games to get to. About 10 more. Maybe we'll talk about Tampa Bay and the Raiders again. A lot to talk about there. And World Series game number 3 into the bottom of the first right now with the Dodgers early lead 1-0. We'll keep you abreast of in-game lines. It's VSiN's primetime action powered by DraftKings.
DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up with the promo code VSiN to claim your exclusive offer. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Gil, Matt.
Thank you, Danielle. Walker Buehler, 1-2-3 on the Rays. Meadows grounded out, and then Lau and Arozarena strikeout swinging. So I guess Buehler heard me say, I'm not going to take that over on the strikeout.
He's on pace. He is on pace.
Very much on pace for the 7.5, at least after the first inning. 1-0 Dodgers. Current line, Matt, is?
We are sitting here at -275, +210 now on the Rays. Whew, +210 on the Rays.
What's happening, Daniele? What you got?
Antonio Brown.
Yes, ma'am.
So to the Bucks. Interesting. Tom Brady just can't get enough. I wanted to ask Matt, what are the fantasy implications here? I looked at his stats. He provides over 12 fantasy points per game since 2013. Of course, only one game last year.
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, so if he's available, you go get him like right now. If he's available, I mean, like,
was anybody stashing Antonio Brown?
I don't know. I mean, people might have seen this news today and already ran and got him. So I would go check if I were sitting right now in front of a computer or pull it up on your phone. If he's available, he's the perfect guy to have at the end of your bench, because you can just kind of figure out, who knows, maybe he has a super prominent role in this offense. I mean, like, you don't have to start him right out of the gate, but he's a guy that you would love to have. And then you figure out, like, oh, wow, he's getting 9 targets a game, or whatever. Like, Tom Brady loves this guy, and he's getting basically all those intermittent. Because, look, yeah, Gronk flashed last week, but he's still elderly. He kind of dad runs, you know? I mean, like, he's like, you know, like out there, you know? And so.
Is that like Daniel Jones last night? Runs. Is that what a dad run is?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's just he's a dad runner, you know? Like, if you're watching, like, you know what I'm talking about. Like,
dad it's jokes, a,
you know,
runs.
Yeah. Gronk. And so maybe he takes over some of those little intermittent, you know, passes and stuff like that and doesn't really have to be the guy that he used to be. Cause I mean, Godwin and Evans are better than him at that anyway.
I was going to say, should you be worried if you have Godwin or Evans?
I mean, it certainly is not great for you because he's going
it's not good news.
Yeah, it's not good news because he's going to demand some targets, which is going to take away
both literally the field and verbally
yes, to demand. Yes.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, but if he's available, go get him. I would run to go get him right now. Like, I would not wait at all. And, like, you don't start him week one. You see what see what his role is in the offense and then go from there. But, like I said, even if he is 80% of what he used to be, that is a really, really good guy. One, to have on just your team in general, to have on your fantasy team for sure.
And week one for him is week nine.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if he's available. Did you guys see that Adam Schefter picked him up before he released the news on Wednesday?
Did he really?
Yeah. So people are laughing at that.
Interesting.
Little insider trading going on there.
hey, yeah. He hears things. You know, I mean, like
I was in a fantasy football league. This is a true story, and I'm not just because you bring it up. Yeah. I was in a fantasy football league for a few years with Scott Van Pelt, and I always wondered. I was like, do these guys have more information than I do before this happens?
And they do.
And they do.
Oh, yeah. They do for sure.
Yeah. Now I don't know that he did that, but that corroborates what I was worried about.
Yeah. So if he's still available. You know, if Schefter didn't get the jump on
him. I'd get him. He could end up being an incredibly valuable asset. And, like, if you go pick him up right now, you're getting him for free. So it's basically all upside, no downside. Because if he ends up being a bust, if they end up only targeting him three times a game, whatever, drop him. Like, it's no big deal.
Yeah. Good question, though.
Mm-hmm.
This is a personal question. What is Tom Brady's fascination with Antonio Brown about? I don't understand. Well, he usually has pretty sound judgment.
Have you seen
judgment.
That guy play football?
I was about to ask you a personal question.
No, it's like, have you seen that guy play football? That's the answer. I mean, like, when he's good.
He can't quit him, Danielle.
This is a personal question. Why is Matt Brown obsessed with Joe Burrow? Where does that affinity come from? Is it just from, you know, LSU?
He brought me a national championship last year.
You personally?
Yes.
And a decent amount of money, if I remember correctly.
And an incredibly good betting night as well.
But let's be honest.
Yeah.
That was the greatest season any college quarterback has ever had through the air.
Maybe the greatest offensive team ever.
Right.
Assembled.
And never looked worried for one second of it.
No.
Now he is.
Well, now he's got problems. Yeah.
He's got O-line problems.
Yeah.
He's getting crushed.
Yeah.
Getting killed.
All right. Two down here in the top of the second here. As Charlie Morton tries to limit the damage here right now, Dodgers 1, Rays nothing. We'll update it. We'll update the lines. We'll go through more of the week 7 lines. And Chris Felica will join us. ESPN's College Game Day, the Bear, to talk a little college football right here. VSiN's primetime action powered by DraftKings.
Week of a full college football schedule, and we've updated the VSiN college football betting guide, including all the teams from the Big Ten, MAC, and Pac-12. Get the guide plus everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through February 8th, you'll get our weekly digital betting guides, access to our 24/7 live video stream, daily email updates featuring the best bets, breaking news, advanced stats, and game previews, all on VSiN.com. Get in the game, visit VSiN.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Will Swiss skydiver race in the distaff, or will she test the boys again in the classic? Owner Peter Callahan discusses the Breeders' Cup plans on the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. There are also two triple crowns that could be won this weekend on opposite sides of the world. Ashley Mayhew talks about Mighty Heart's bid to win it in Canada with just one eye. And Kate Hunter previews Contrail's run for a sweep in Japan. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is available now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored by First Bet. Gil?
I do not have answers plural to Danielle's horse racing questions. I do not know if Swiss Skydiver
will
be in the distaff.
I do not.
I don't know.
I don't know much about the distaff.
Dodgers and Rays, bottom of the second. G-Man Choi up at the plate. So everybody downstairs is very excited. Did you see G-Man do the splits on that ground ball earlier in this ballgame?
Full on.
Very impressive.
Full on.
Very impressive. Bueller up on him, though. One ball, two strikes to start off the bottom of the second. Dodgers lead at 1-0. Currently, Dodgers minus 265, Rays plus 205. All it took was one run to bounce it up more than a dollar, make it minus 275 based on this next pitch. So this is a favorable outcome for whatever happens here. I don't know if this is a third strike. I don't know if he retires, G-Man Choi, but we can see the future just by a few seconds here with the DraftKings live lines. Again, we're looking for in-game betting opportunities. That's a strike three staring there. Third strikeout for Walker Bueller through one and a third. So this is the point of this show, is we're looking for in-game betting opportunities to exploit. But because we have pre-flop bets, sometimes it doesn't really make sense for us. So right now, if you're someone who believes in the Rays pre-flop before this game started, maybe this is an opportunity for you to say, hey, I want to add more to the Rays. Yeah. But because I'm on the Dodgers, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if the live total got down to like that flat four we saw the other night or something like that, I might come back in to get a middle. I mean, four-run middle would be pretty sweet for me. So if we see something like that, might be a situation for me to come in on the over side of things. But yeah, for me, I kind of have to wait for this thing to go another few innings for me to see what the total ends up at.
Let's go through some more of these football games, and we'll update you on baseball as it goes. Margot to face Bueller right now already. Good pitcher's count for Bueller again. The bona fide Dodgers ace. Apologies to Clayton Kershaw and the Kershaw family, but Walker Bueller has got the goods. Strike three, by the way, swinging. Four strikeouts, just five retired.
Just 99 on the black.
That's all.
Yeah, just 99 on the black. No big deal.
Five up, five down right now. Let's do more of these because, you know, last week when we were falling behind pace, we got tweets in the middle, and we appreciate everybody tweeting us and saying, hey, what about this game? You're not there yet. Carolina at New Orleans. This is still early on Sunday. Saints, sort of 7.5 consensus. What does DraftKings have on this?
Down to seven, yeah. And this Saints got pretty much the worst news possible today. So Michael Thomas out. Emmanuel Sanders out. Wow. Emmanuel Sanders added to the COVID-19 list. So now they are without their top two wide receivers. They had a guy that, you know, got a couple of snaps last week in Benny Fowler that got moved to IR as well. So they literally have three, four wide receivers on the entire roster right now with the way things went down. Now, the Michael Thomas situation is not the ankle injury that he had been battling before. He actually tweaked his hamstring in practice, and that's the reason he's out.
Jeez.
And then Manny Sanders with the COVID test positive. So now he's gone. So this thing instantly fell from the seven and a half to the seven on the Panthers. This completely changes the dynamic of this game. If you were listening to us earlier in the week, I already have teaser liability on the Saints that I'm really not thrilled about at this point.
Me too.
Got to figure out a way to creatively get off of that somehow and everything. And this is honestly why we were also talking about, although Gil went ahead and put in his picks early this week. But
can I say something about that? As you're speaking, and we do this every Friday night, and I always say, I go, wait till we talk about football Friday night, get all the injury reports, get all the practice reports before putting in your picks if you're in a contest. This whole experience of having put in my picks last night and then just us having this conversation now, I will never do it again. Mm-hmm. Because as we're going game by game, and by the way, I lost yesterday. I had the Eagles. I have no idea how we lost, but we lost against the number. But just the bullets that I've dodged just talking now. Yeah. Thank God I didn't pick the Saints. The Raiders and the Buccaneers I steered clear of, though you gave reasons why you might want to take the Bucs earlier on the show. Yeah, this is not a good feeling.
Yeah, no, like I would have played.
It's a mind.
So if I'd have put in yesterday, I would have played the Saints, right? And because all indication was is Michael Thomas was going to be able to battle through this. Emmanuel Sanders had not tested positive for COVID at this point, you know? And so I would have played the Saints. And so now it is a completely different scenario is the way you look at this game. And so now you're talking about a Saints team that's going to be going out there with Tre'Quan Smith as basically your number one wide receiver. You know, your number two option at this point, actually. actually, your number one option is Kamara, and then your number two option is Tre'Quan Smith, and your number three is probably going to be Jared Cook at tight end. You know, I mean, like, that's probably going to have to be your number three option to move the ball. And look, the Panthers kind of came back down to earth from whenever they were peaking, but with the way the Saints are right now, I think the real play in this game is the under. I mean, like, it's sitting at 50 right now, and I think the Saints defense has gotten a little bit healthier, going to be able to kind of stifle what the Panthers are doing. And then the Saints, man, I think you're going to have trouble scoring. I think it's going to be not near as easy moving the ball. I mean, look, at some point, Kamara, as awesome as he is, they'll just say, all right, we're gonna make sure Kamara doesn't beat us. Beat us with Tre'Quan Smith and Jared Cook.
As they should.
Yeah, as they should.
Yeah.
So beat us with Tre'Quan Smith and Jared Cook. And if you can do that, then tip of the cap, and we'll go from there.
What would Bill Belichick do? That would be exactly what he would do.
And if they're smart, that's what the Panthers will do in this situation as well. So, I mean, I can't believe I flipped totally on this. I'm not going to have a play on the side. If I did, I'd probably take the touchdown with the Panthers.
What the Saints should do is put Taysom Hill in more roles.
They
need him to do more.
Obviously, he's not going to start at wide receiver.
People just tuning in, we're joking. We are joking. We all have sort of a pet peeve about Taysom Hill and his insertion into games at random times. Now, how do you put it? Not as good a thrower as what they have, not as good a runner as the other players they have, and not as good a pass catcher as the other pass catchers they have. Although in this particular case, maybe he's more in play. We got about 8 more games to get to in the NFL. We'll do all of that. Right now, we go to the top of the third. Dodgers, top of the order. Betts and Seager to lead things off. MVP and MVP, if you will. 1-0 Dodgers. They're right around $3 now to win this. Coming back, Beeson's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up and start betting with the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's that easy. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code VSIN, and get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook for full details. Taking a look now at the DraftKings live college football lines. Jacksonville State is up 13-3 over Florida International in the third quarter. They are the 6-point favorite. Live total at 40.5 there. Then we have Louisiana Lafayette versus UAB. UAB up 3-0 in the second quarter. They are just the 1-point favorite. Live line 44.5. Illinois Wisconsin. Wisconsin just scored, so they're up 14-0 in the second quarter. Line is off the board for now. And then South Florida is down. Tulsa's up 20-6 in the second quarter. Again, off the board for now. Gil.
Thank you, Danielle. Yeah, Wisconsin up by 2 touchdowns. So their current number right around the pre-flop number, minus 22 in favor of the Badgers, as Big Ten play kicks off tonight. And of course, continues in full earnest mode tomorrow, with Michigan and Minnesota perhaps being the marquee matchup tomorrow in the Big Ten. 1-0 Dodgers. 2 down in the top of the third. I was mistaken. Chris Taylor actually led off the inning. Mookie struck out. So it was 2 down, and Corey Seager just got hit on an errant pitch in his foot. He's okay, but he's at first base now with the guy that put the Dodgers ahead, Justin Turner. Had a solo shot in the first inning. He takes his second crack at Charlie Morton now with 1 on here.
Minus 250 on the Dodgers, plus 195 on the Rays. A total, live total of 6.5.
Six, and now it's 6. If I'm not mistaken, did it just tick to 6 for you as we speak? I see a 6.
I'm still getting 6.5.
I see. Huh. Now it went to 6.5. All right.
Man. People want that.
Things move quickly here. Before we get to Chris Velique at the top of the hour to talk college football, let's squeeze in a couple more of these games. Yeah. By the way, golf, those wondering, hey, what about this golf contest you guys are doing? They're two rounds in. Justin Thomas leads the Zozo Championship, by the way, 14 under. One stroke lead.
He's pretty good at golf, by pretty the way. Good. That guy.
It's just in.
Yeah.
Pretty good at golf. One stroke lead over Dylan Fraccelli. And then also Lanto Griffin, pardon me. Patrick Cantlay, Scottie Scheffler, two strokes back. What did I say yesterday? Watch Scottie Scheffler, because I don't have him this week, but I had him last week. Watch him show up and look at him.
That's what happens,
taunting me. Taunting me. There is Reed Fowler's pre-flop pick, though. Patrick Reed, three strokes back. How about that? Along with Tyrrell Hatton, Tony Finau, and a whole bunch of others. Kevin Kisner, who we mentioned as well, Fowler did on the show from DraftKings. So a lot of the pre-flop talk that we had here looking pretty good right now.
We got old Bubba up there. Bubba's up there.
Bubba. So I got a piece of Bubba.
We got Bubba lingering, so we're good there. We got Tony Finau lingering as well. We have some Tony Finau shares as well, so we're doing good from that aspect. How about Richie Wierenski goes 11 under 61 today?
Good Lord.
I feel like he's done that like twice in the restart and then nothing else.
That includes a bogey in that round. He shoots 61 with a bogey on the card for him. I mean, there were a lot of scores today. Patrick Reed goes 9 under. Finau goes 8 under. Wierenski goes 11 under. I mean, a lot of Kokrak goes 7 under. Vic Hovland, who, I said I do have a little bit of Vic Hovland, goes from only 1 under yesterday to 8. He goes 8 under today, so he's sitting at 9 under for the tournament. So we've seen these rounds can be had, so
yeah.
Buckle in. It's going to be fun.
Your guy, Sebastian Munoz, had a 70 today, which in a strokes gained analysis is might as well be like a 78.
Yeah.
The way that the course played today. I'm sorry, Kelly.
Yeah, no problem. Matt, anything that stands out to you on these live updated odds after round two? This is kind of an interesting betting opportunity, I think, as far as updated golf odds go, but just because you've got so many guys jumbled at the top of the leaderboard like this. And I'm thinking like a guy I'm on, Webb Simpson. Great, I got him at 18-1 pre-tournament. He's only four shots off the lead right now. You can get him at a better number. Anything that sticks out to you there?
Pardon me, Justin Turner roped down the left field line.
Oh.
Seager being waved home all the way from first. He will no.
Oh.
They held him.
Held him.
Held him. Looked like the last shot we had that he was gonna be sent home. Instead, he puts on the brakes. Justin Turner, home run in the first, double in the third here. In his first two at-bats, Dodgers with some late noise here in the top of the third. Runners at third and at second and third with two down.
Minus 295 now on the live line, plus 220 if you want the Rays.
And this is one of these moments in the game. And again, I know it's only the third inning, but the Rays, with the exception of game two, the bats have been dormant. And so this is one of these early high leverage situations where it's like, you know what? The difference, and I said this the other night when it went from a 3-run lead for the Rays to 5, and I made what seemed like the captain obvious comment of the difference between 3-0 and 5-0 is monumental. By the way, that's the difference between a loss and a win. This is that moment right here for the Dodgers. The difference between 1-0 and 3-0 with the Rays bats as dormant as they are besides last game. So huge with Max Muncy at the plate.
Yeah, this is all the way up to minus 305 now. So people piling on the Dodgers thinking that Muncy might be able to get it done here.
No balls, one strike. You can go ahead and answer that question, though. We won't do this pitch by pitch.
Yeah, Kelly, I mean, look, I think one of the things whenever we look at those live odds, I think the one thing I tell you I wouldn't do is bet on either one of those Justin Thomas bets as good as he's playing, but like seeing how low these guys can go in any given round, right? I mean, he goes 7-under today, but so does every single player below him. We've seen an 11-under, a couple of guys go 8 and 9. This lead, he could shoot a good, like you mentioned. So the Sebastian Munoz guy goes 2-under today. He's way down at 14th now.
It's a terrible day.
Yeah. So like he could shoot 4-under tomorrow, but another guy goes 8 or 9 and now you find himself like a T10 as opposed to something like that. So yeah, I tell you, it would be fading Justin Thomas on those numbers for sure.
I just want to point out Matthew Fitzpatrick right now ensconced in 13th place. So for our contest purposes, for those who missed it, Matt took Matthew Fitzpatrick top 5, was it? Was it Fitzpatrick? No, we did it for somebody else.
No, right? I have Wolf.
Oh, it was Wolf. I'm sorry. We did Wolf top five, top 10, top 20. We're a little gamesmanship. Wolf, not his tournament thus far. Wolf is definitely outside of the top 20. In fact, Wolf is all the way down in, let's call it, well, there he is in 40th place. Six under for the tournament, three under first round, three under in the second round. That's right. I got my signals crossed or my wires crossed with Wolf and Fitzpatrick. But Matthew Wolf, top five, top 10, top 20, respectively here. I'm feeling good about my top 20 prices right play.
And if we remember, we were talking about the head-to-head with Xander Schauffele and Tiger Woods, and that was looking like a slam dunk. And then Xander goes out and shoots even today. Tiger ends up having an a pretty good round.
Six under par, I believe.
Yeah.
Base hit, Max Muncy, 3-2 pitch. A 2 RBI single, Dodgers 3, Rays nothing. That is a massive hit in game number 3 against Charlie Morton.
And Tiger goes 6 under today. So now Xander 3 under, Tiger at 2 under. So actually, anyone who took Xander, you're gonna have a sweat in that head to head.
So that's not one I played. I've got heavy Webb Simpson versus Tiger, and then Matthew Wolf versus Tiger. So I got a little bit more breathing room, but. Yeah, Tiger making that interesting today.
He did.
If you're watching this show for the first time and you're wondering, it seems like two guys are talking about golf and the other guy's talking about baseball. That's how this show goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Dodgers
it's
are now...
It's flowing.
That's
yeah,
what we do.
We flow.
We're trying to break ground here in television, people. The Dodgers are minus 835 now, up 3-0 this early in the ballgame. Minus 835.
The might Rays, not be enough.
Yeah, might not be enough. The Rays are plus 510. Again, it's early, but... Davey Roberts and the Dodgers feeling pretty good about themselves, and those of us who have Dodgers bets feeling pretty good. Again, the question I asked before this was that Rays Game 2 performance a portent of things to come, or will this be viewed in retrospect as just sort of a hiccup? And I don't know, Dodgers' first salvo at it is we're going to try to relegate that to hiccup. Here are our golf, by the way. These were our pre-flop golf plays. Mythical $500 at the Zozo. We do this every week on the show. Last week, we were all 0-5. Can we just be transparent about that? Here we are, and right now, Matt, are you probably looking the best? I think you are.
Yeah, I have Watson and Cam Smith that are both in the top 20, so I'll at least I'm making a little money as we speak right now.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, we got two more rounds, and we're seeing people.
Kept him in the ballpark. Warning track, just in front of the warning track for the final out of the inning. But the Dodgers do their damage. Dodgers 3, Rays nothing as we go to the bottom of the third in the bubble in Texas. Big hit from Max Muncy. All right.
Minus 770 plus 500 on the Rays.
Anybody want to play 5-1 on the Rays who doesn't have a Dodgers preflop?
Yeah.
No,
I'm good, Gil.
Oh, no.
I got my series.
People who are like, I'm going to play plus money on the Rays tonight. I'm like, with Walker Buehler on the hill? Like, there's just the guy. I understand how good Morton's been, but there's just no way.
I have remained steadfast, and I've listened to other people on VSiN, on our network, on the radio side, talking about how they were making cases for the Rays. And I was the guy who last year, I was like, it is your obligation to bet the Nationals against the Astros. Your obligation. I use that word. I've never used that word before or since about anything in sports. And then this year, people are like, is it your obligation to bet the Rays? And I go, I don't see it that way at all. I just think this is the Dodgers' year, and again, they are so much better than any other team in terms of just their, with the exception of their bullpen and their, you know, that's the only possible weakness, but their lineup is so ridiculous that, again, their margin of error is so wide and the Rays so thin. The Rays have to have everything go perfectly for them to win any one of these games. Even the other night, they end up winning it 6-4, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's sort of like they held on kind of thing.
Yeah, and Buehler... I understand it was, you know, ace against ace here, but Buehler is, like you said, not only the ace of this staff, but one of the top five pitchers now at this point in baseball.
It's early. Anything can happen, but that's how it is right now. Dodgers up 3-0 as we head to the bottom of the third. Chris Felica, you may know him from ESPN's College Game Day, from the Stanford Stephen the Bear podcast, and of course from ESPN2's Daily Wager, their daily Monday through Friday gambling show. We'll talk college football with him next. Find out where the Game Day crew is going this weekend, get his favorite picks, and how he feels the college football playoff ought to go this year. Expand to 8? We shall see. It's VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.